This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Richard Siddle. He's the editor of Harper's. How are you, Richard?
I'm fine, thank you. Very good.
Excellent. We're going to be talking about Harper's and some of the new changes that have come in this year. Before we get into that, do you want to tell us a wee bit about yourself, Richard? Are you a wine man from way back?
I'm a wine man in terms of drinking wine, but in terms of working, I'm very much a business journalist. I've edited a number of different business magazines. Spent 10 years retailing magazines, magazines like Checkout, Independent Retail News. So I'm very familiar with the kind of the grocery retail world. I used to write about everything from Mars bars to bottles of wine and spirits, but this is my first dedicated job in the wine world.
Have you ever done any wine qualifications, or is it just enthusiastic amateur experience?
Very enthusiastic amateur experience.
I've seen a few bottles of wine in your house. We're recording this in your house, and there's a few bottles of wine on the bench.
Well, they did get some perks with this job, it has to be said, so that's okay.
How long's Harper's been going for?
Well, I've been in a magazine only for 6 months, but the magazine has been around since 1878, so nearly 130 years of experience, and it's quite scary in a way, taking the reins of a magazine that's got that much heritage, and there aren't that many magazines in the UK, never mind the world, that's got that long a history.
And we, in our news clips, we do a sort of a 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and Sandra, our reporter, we sent her down to the WSET library,
and she
pulls out the old back issues of Harper's, and it was... I went down a few times and had a look at the old issues a long time ago, and it's quite interesting looking at how the magazine's actually changed over the last 100 years, and the current revamp is quite different to the way it was sold or the way it was positioned maybe 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, actually, interestingly, the designers who helped us put together the new design did exactly that. They went into the archive, they took copies right back from day one, and actually... a lot of the fonts and the actual new logo for the magazine is actually quite... they actually took some of the ideas and iconography from that. So actually the whole new look is a kind of a mixture between welcoming the new but also celebrating the old. And actually, for those Harper's connoisseurs out there, they may actually recognise some of the kind of the fonts and stuff from way back. So
talking about the revamp, when did it come in?
We relaunched the magazine and the website on May 18. I remember the day very well. This year, I mean, I was brought in March, so it's a pretty quick turnaround for myself. Only 8 weeks to put together the relaunch. But in terms of a planning process, that had been going on for about over a year with reader research, and we have an editorial steering group who advised on what we needed to try and do. But yeah, it came in May, and it's been quite a radical change. The whole magazine's, basically everything in the magazine's been turned upside down, inside out, and we completely opened up a website as well. So a website used to be subscription only, it's now free access, and we have a daily rolling news service on the website. So it's been a complete top to tail. I think someone described it as almost like a reinvention of Harper's, and I think that's quite a nice way of looking at it.
What was the main focus of the revamp? Because you've changed around, you've included sort of almost like bite-sized chunks of content.
Yeah, I mean, essentially the way I looked at it was, I looked at it from obviously looking at all the research that was out there. We was really trying to reconnect Harper's with the kind of the changing world of wine and spirits. And I think as the wine world tries to make sure it's part of the modern day society, I think Harper's needed to do that as well. I think that there's a slight... with the old Harper's are perhaps being a little bit inward and being very much about the kind of the wine making and the process. And we wanted to try and introduce, whilst keeping that still, introduce a little bit more elements about the business side and the actual sort of process of how the whole structure works, and the end game being how much wine, how many spirits are sold through off licenses, through restaurants. So we look very much at trying to connect with every single part of the supply chain. So we've introduced certain sections of the magazine where we like to think that if you're a winemaker in Hunter Valley, or if you're a distiller in the Orkneys, or if you're a PR, if you're a marketing, if you're wherever you are in the wine spirits world, sections like the week where you've got big week four, picks of the week, good week, bad week, all the kind of things that we're very familiar with reading in the national press, we kind of felt it was nice to have a kind of a community sense and try and bring everyone together in those sort of sections. So, you know, statistics and top tens and all the kind of things that are nice, light, touchy-feely information. But then also, you know, having the big, deep, insightful features as well. So combining the two, and I think trying to make Harper's the kind of magazine that you might pick up 2-3 times in a week. So you might read it, A, for the news initially. You know, you might like look at, and then you might like take the top tens and the picks of the week for another time. And then when you're looking for a more of a meaty read, you might look at sort of the 4-page report on, you know, the latest harvest in Bordeaux or whatever. So it's a kind of like a magazine that's like, to suit people at different times of their day and of their reading needs.
Like, you used to do supplements, you know, supplement on Alsace or New Zealand. Do you still do that? Because they seem to be almost buried within the main magazine sometimes now. What's going on there? Because I used to love the supplements because I could read the mag, biff it once I finished that week, and keep the supplement for if I needed to keep it for research.
Yeah, no, I mean, we still do supplements. I mean, I think, in a way, if I could take that as a compliment, then wait, because I think sometimes what we are now doing is, in the features in the magazine, we might now be doing, say, a 6-7-page report on New Zealand. So they're almost like mini supplements within the magazine. We're just giving over more space to exploring features. But no, I mean, we are still very much dedicated to doing regular supplements. This year we've done California, we've done Argentina, we've done a supplement on Champagne. We're literally, as we speak, doing for the first time a dedicated one looking specifically at the entrees, looking at all the suppliers and the services available for people in the entrees. We've got supplements coming out in December on the closure debate. So no, I mean, it's very much about partnerships with the trade, and yes, the supplement side of things is where we have an opportunity to really drill down and give people that kind of like longevity of information. So yes, we're still very dedicated to doing supplements.
Who buys your magazine? Where is it purchased?
Well, we're actually a subscription magazine, so you can't buy it in WH Smith. You know, there are people who say, why not? And I like to think actually the new look actually would sit alongside any magazine on the newsstand. But we are subscription only. So essentially, we go to anybody who's involved in the kind of the grape to the glass, is kind of like how we describe it. And anybody's willing to pay their annual subscription. But as I say, we go from winemakers, we go through to wine merchants, sommeliers, bar managers, wholesale agencies, everybody in the middle. But yeah, and we are very proud of the fact that every person who picks up a copy of Harper's or has a copy of Harper's has actually paid to get it. You know, lots of other trade magazines are controlled circulation, whereby essentially they get a free copy, whether you like it or not. You get sent a copy. Whereas if you have a copy of Harper's, then it's actually you made a chosen to, and you've also actually paid for it.
It's not cheap either. I think it's what £180 and
in, all the details are in our flannel panel. But yeah, I mean, obviously for international, it's a little bit higher because of the postage and printing. We like to think it's the priced at the right level, and the price hasn't necessarily gone up a great deal in the last 2-3 years. But one interesting thing is our website coverage is, you know, we have now made that open, completely free access. And the reason for that really is that, you know, I think content on website these days, people are a lot less willing, obviously, to pay for content online. And we also felt that by completely reinvigorating and relaunching our websites with fresh content, everything on the websites that you see is fresh, new content. It's not from the magazine. It's opening Harper's up to a whole new audience in the UK and around the world. And the kind of the hope is that people might see the stuff we're doing online and think, well, actually, I ought to really get myself a magazine subscription as well.
How many staff have you got?
We are the famous five. There's myself. There's a deputy editor, James Ophanast. We have a news editor, Shirley Webb. We have a staff writer, Rebecca Gibb, who up until this week, actually, was the Young Wine Writer of the Year. I think they've just named the new Young Wine Writer of the Year. And we have our designer, Sasha Farman. So we're a small, tight team, and we're literally just bringing in a new web editor who starts in a couple of weeks' time. So tight, small team, lots to do.
But you're owned by a bigger company, so you must get resourcing from that.
Yeah, I mean, we are part of Nexus Media, who's our publishing company. So, yeah, we do have, you know, support from IT and marketing, but and our sales team, can't forget them. But in terms of actually nitty gritty getting the stories written and laid out, it's down to the five of us. And obviously we use lots of freelancers and in the wine world. So if anyone's listening and has got a good idea for a wine feature, or you know, please send through your ideas. We're always looking for new bright stars to write for Harper's.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to get inundated now, but that's great, Richard. 2007 was a big year with your revamp of everything, both your online presence and your magazine. What have you got planned for 2008?
Yeah, I mean, we really sort of see this as sort of phase one, phase two. I mean, phase one was really about, you know, reinventing Harper's as a brand, as a magazine, totally revolutionising the kind of the websites and doing that. Phase two is all about really kind of drilling down into content and what people really want. We're going to be doing a lot more research about how the magazine and the website's performing. And then next year, we've got a whole range of ideas in terms of the new award schemes. We're looking at doing a on-trade roadshow, series of sort of educational support roadshows around the country aimed at sommeliers, bar staff, restaurant staff, which we're hoping to do in the summer. A lot more kind of round tables, a lot more kind of conferences we're looking at. So yeah, we see 2008 as being the kind of the year when Harper's actually starts getting out and really kind of like, you know, taking the brand out on to the country in a way, in terms of being conferences and round tables and that kind of thing.
You've mentioned a couple of times about new supplements for the on-trade, talk about doing some conferences or on-trade shows. Are you really starting to shift your focus into the on-trade? Because I've always thought of Harper's more as an off-trade type magazine as opposed to the bars and restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, part of the relaunch, we actually extended our circulation from 2,500 to 5,000. We kind of like did some deliberate targeted subscription drive, and we've now picked up a lot of people now from the on-trade, and we see that as sort of squaring the circle, if you see what I mean, in terms of we are now talking to people in the on-trade, we're talking to people in the off-trade, and you know, so sommeliers and at all the top restaurants, bar managers, restaurant owners, restaurant designers, you know, we're very much interested in the whole of the kind of the on-trade trends and how that then dovetails with the off-trade. Because clearly a lot of the middlemen, as it were, the suppliers and the agencies are supporting both. So it kind of makes sense for Harper's to be doing that as well. And it's, to be honest, it's also great fun, because you know, I get a chance and excuses to go and see some of the best restaurants around. So the key thing to get across really is that, yes, we are a trade magazine, a business magazine, but we'd like to think, you know, with the new look and the way we're kind of presenting the wine and spirit world now, is, you know, if you're a wine enthusiast like myself, a spirits enthusiast, you may have a decanter subscription, you know, welcome people to take a look at Harper's, and you think there's a lot of information in there that you know, for consumers and trade alike, but ultimately we are all either wine or spirit drinkers, so every view is perfect. And also a website is free access, and I encourage anyone to go to our site, harpers.co.uk.
Excellent, Richard. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much.
Great, thank you. Cheers.